Michigan Business Beat on Michigan Business Network. Jeffrey Mosier is still sitting in for Chris Holman, still on the road recording remotely as we all are tended to do so these days. And, well, we're picking up on segment two of a pair of interviews we were doing with a pair of companies from East Lansing, Michigan. And we were tipped off on an interesting concept, the fact that amidst retail crisis that a group of college town stores are innovating despite the national drops in retail, and that East Lansing shops are fighting to survive during the pandemic. So I'm gathered today with Luke Allen Hackney, a point guard for RetroDoc.com, and Meg Larned Croft, owner of Woven Art Yarn Shop. Luke, Meg, welcome back to the Michigan Business Beat.
Thank you.
Meg, I'm going to head the next question to you and wonder how to address social components of your hobby, Zoom lunchtime, stitch-along, Zoom classes. How has that been a pivot for your company?
Well, what a lot of people may not realize is that knitting and crocheting is actually a very social affair, and knitters and crocheters love to get together and stitch together. And obviously that has not been possible. So one of the things that we've done at the shop is to have a lunchtime Zoom-based stitch-along. So we have knitters and crocheters be able to join us over Zoom on Wednesdays from 12 to 1. And they get to visit with each other, be able to check in with each other about the projects they're working on, new yarns that they're working with, and just be able to socialize and break up their day a little bit. We used to have Thursday night stitch-alongs at the shop where people would come in for 2 hours and socialize. And we really wanted to be able to replace that. So, and then we're also now working on some Zoom classes for our knitters and crocheters as we can't teach in person right now.
Excellent. And Luke, from what I understand, you have an online ordering options on RetroDuck for custom apparel orders. Could you share that story?
Yeah, perfect timing. Yeah, absolutely. We do. We technically always have, but something that we're trying to push outwardly more now, you know, because we don't have people coming into the shop, because people don't want to, you know, come near the shop, or maybe, you know, for a variety of reasons. We're trying to push a effort we have, which we call social ordering, where we essentially set up temporary shopping carts for our customers. So say a business wants to sell some shirts online for a couple of weeks, we set it up, we negotiate the price with them beforehand, how much money they want to make versus how much we want to make. We put those terms down, and then we set it up, and then they're free to share out those links. And then when that time period is up, say it's 1 week, 2 weeks, it really depends on what the customer wants to do, then we print all the shirts and then we cut them a check for the difference. So if we charge them $6 and they charge $15, then we cut them a check for, you know, the $9 shirt difference. Along with that, we're also trying to push that might be a good way for businesses and events, specifically events. So, say, like the Capital City Film Festival or East Lansing Art Fest did this year. So, you're not having the event, but to avoid overhead and avoid any sort of complications, maybe we could just sell the shirts on our site for a week or two and then give you the money. It's not going to be the normal amount that you would sell if you're doing it in person, but at least you have some money. It's something to put on the site, it's the content to put on your social media. It's something, and those have gone all right.
Great. Well, back to Meg. I understand that you're welcoming new individuals to new hobbies, knitting, crochet, spinning, and weaving, and undergraduate students and men are also a target for your business here as we move through the pandemic. Can you share more about that?
Yeah, certainly. In the past, I would say that, well, in general, my customers are probably 98% not students. So they might be connected to the university, but I'm not as driven by undergraduate students as a lot of businesses in East Lansing, which has been good during the pandemic with not as many students returning to town. That hasn't affected me as greatly as some businesses unfortunately have. But what I'm seeing is that people are really desperate for learning new hobbies, especially as we start, you know, heading into the dark months. So I've been getting a lot more undergraduate students who want to learn how to knit as something that they can do to de-stress and to keep their hands busy while they're either watching TV or they can even do it while watching lectures on Zoom. And then I'm also getting a lot more men who I think, especially when we didn't have much in the way of sports on TV, a lot of men realized that they didn't actually have a hobby. So I've been getting a lot more men coming in who either want to learn how to knit, crochet, or weave. And I have a couple of men who are learning how to spin as well and make their own yarn. But, you know, it's a great time for hobby revival right now. And being able to do something that passes the time and can have a creative, positive force in your life and be able to sort of brighten up your winter months is really what we're focusing on growing right now as we really head into the colder months.
Well, tremendous. And for Luke, what I'm reading here, I'm gathering that you're actually quite involved with the community of East Lansing. I'm going to start it off with DDA, Public Policy and Market Development Committee, and Parking Task Force. Share a little bit about those four, and we'll go from there.
So I have been on the Downtown Development Authority for 2 years now. Before that, I chaired the Downtown Management Board for three, I believe. The distinction between those basically being that the DMB could be considered the marketing arm of the DDA. So the DDA, the Downtown Development Authority, we handle a lot. We own property downtown. We handle a lot of the bigger construction. We also are technically what's called the Brownsfield Authority. So any Brownsfield tax increment incentive money has to kind of filter through us, so it's filtering through the city. And in doing that, I ended up becoming our public policy market development chair, which I've been doing for a little while now. And that's related to mostly just coming up with new innovative ideas to kind of help downtown, different market strategies. We look at the different rentals downtown and how they're doing. There's kind of a variety of things that go into that. And then I became the chair of the Parking Task Force earlier this year. Just a task force designed to figure out a plethora of different things that parking wants to do in regards to, you know, is it being overbuilt? Is it being underbuilt? Is it, should we, you know, be charging more, less? How free parking works, how moped parking might look in the future in downtown, and just a variety of things on that. And there's actually three different components to that, three different subcommittees to that. So we didn't meet that much during the pandemic, just once virtually, but we're just getting back to that now.
Sure thing. Sounds like a lot of innovation going on in East Lansing, and I'm going to come to each of you one more time here as we wrap this interview up. But for Meg, I'd love to hear what you're planning for the future, whether it's integrated online stores, online classes, or whatever else might be that innovation amidst the COVID era.
Yeah, so I am planning for the future. So right now, we are actually working on an integrated online store that will work with my purchasing system so that my inventory will update live, which would be great over the current online shop that I have. And we're really planning on our online classes to grow our online classes. During the last session, we had students joining us from Florida and California. And then we also had new moms at home who had, you know, just had a baby the week before. They're not going to be leaving their house for a little bit. So they were able to take some of our classes. And then we've also had a number of new students who have mobility issues. And these online classes are not only great for the pandemic, but also reaching customers that we wouldn't have been able to reach before, whether they couldn't make it to the shop or they were out of state.
Perfect. And as we wrap this up, Luke, besides what you've already listed and, of course, being the point guard for RetroDuck.com, I understand you also chair the East Lansing Business Roundtable for the Lansing Regional Chamber and chair the Local District Finance Authority and Smart Zone, a partnership between Lansing, East Lansing, and Ingham County. Quite a busy set of things on your plate. I'd love to hear a little bit more about that as we wrap up.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, well, first of all, I guess I'll say that COVID made all of that much easier in a lot of ways. But it's a lot easier for me to just hop on calls like this than it is to travel all over the place doing these. But yeah, the you know, the roundtable is a little bit more of a formal thing, just being a chamber member. Talked to Steve Japiga over there about 3 years ago, and he said, I really want to do this. This roundtable, we've had a lot of success doing this in Lansing and in other places where we just like once a month meet and discuss a variety of issues pertaining to the city. We usually have city representatives. We have representatives from Meridian Township as well. We have representatives from, you know, our state leadership usually come in. The superintendent usually comes in. Police Chief Wigglesworth comes in. And we just talk about different things that are affecting the city and just get to know one another a little bit better. MSU also comes in. It's usually a pretty positive experience, and honestly, probably the most informed I am in a given month is because of that meeting. As far as the LDFA, the Local District Finance Authority, is a tax capture partnership between Lansing and East Lansing, and basically, we capture tax dollars from property taxes and reinvest it in both the areas, in both the downtowns, into new technologies. That Smart Zone has been going, it's called Smart Zone, that's been going on for, I want to say, well over a decade. I've been a part of it for, I think I just got, this is my third term as chair, so I've been a part of it for 3 years now.
Great. Well, a lot of innovative things going on in East Lansing, and I hope the business community out there across the state of Michigan understands that we have a wide and diverse state, from Detroit to Marquette and East Lansing to Benton Harbor, and that these stories are just a sampling of some of the innovation that is going on here in Michigan as a small business works to innovate and endure through the COVID era. So once again, Luke, Meg, thank you so much for spending some time with the Michigan Business Beat today.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Wonderful. Once again, Meg Larned-Croft is owner of Woven Art Yarn Shop of East Lansing, and Luke Allen Hackney is a point guard for RetroDuck.com, also East Lansing, Michigan. And we've been discussing that amidst retail crisis that a group of college town stores are innovating despite the national drop in retail, and the East Lansing shops are fighting to survive during the pandemic era. We'll be back with more on Michigan Business Beat on Michigan Business Network.